Hello, and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're taking a look at the streaming TV market and really the only two pure play streaming TV stocks, and that is Roku and Netflix. And we're seeing if either of the stocks are worth considering as longer term investments. We're doing this because there was the Golden Globes last night, and with movie theaters closed this whole last year, it kind of does put to the forefront how important streaming will be going forward. But before we get into everything, I want to say remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look at some of our services, portfolios, and more. All right, so before we jump into Roku and Netflix, it's worth just quickly taking a look at the market because it's been a pretty crazy last several weeks of February, and this is now March 1st. But so the NASDAQ closed at all-time highs just 2 weeks ago. So on February 12th, Wall Street was celebrating the stronger-than-expected earnings results and the likelihood of more government spending. But then things changed pretty quickly with the tech-heavy NASDAQ down about 3.5% during regular trading last Thursday. So that was the big tumble that put it down about 7.5% below its February 12th records. There was pretty much indiscriminate selling across the entire tech sector. We also saw, as that same thing happened, treasury yields were climbing to their pre-pandemic levels. So, for instance, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield had surged from about 0.9% at the start of 2021 to over 1.5% last Thursday. They have slipped back down since then. And we saw some buyers step in Friday in the NASDAQ. It did slip really late in the day, but then obviously Monday, if you're paying attention to the markets, everything was up big as people kind of stepped in and said maybe that selling had got a little bit overheated, especially when we consider that the longer term outlook for 2021 remains relatively bullish, even though things, as we mentioned, got a little overheated. So maybe this pullback was a good opportunity for, as always, markets can't just go up forever. So pullbacks and even corrections are certainly big, healthy parts of the market. As we mentioned, all the tech stocks, all the big tech stocks are up today after they had been hammered for the last 2 weeks. And so two of the tech stocks we're going to talk about today are those pure play streaming market, streaming TV market stocks. So we're quickly going to talk about the broader streaming market, then we'll go into Roku and then Netflix. So we saw Netflix post a blockbuster year in 2020. Most people know the reasons are very obvious. Theaters were closed. Sports were shut down for a really long time. There was nothing to do but sit in your house and watch movies at night. So Netflix added a record 37 million paid subscribers to blow away its average of about 23 million over the last 5 years. So we're seeing more and more people disconnect from legacy media. So this is streaming TV companies are now prepared to really benefit from that. So we should note that Roku has cited various surveys that suggest that roughly 33% of U.S. households have already cut traditional pay TV. And there are projections that say that figure will climb to over 50% by the end of 2024. So just in the next several years, half the United States is projected to have totally cut legacy media in the form we'll have various streaming services. So with that in mind, Netflix ended 2020 with 204 million global paid subscribers. We also saw Disney Plus grow at a rapid pace, and we're seeing HBO Max try to do all they can to get new subscribers. We're seeing that Paramount Plus is being rebranded, or CBS All Access is being rebranded to Paramount Plus. NBC is doing all they can with that Peacock. So there's just going to be as many streaming services as you can imagine. So on the Disney Plus front, the company initially projected, so Disney Plus launched in November of 2019, and they initially projected that they would reach between 60 to 90 million subscribers by 2024. They already hit 95 million in just over a year. They've now raised that forecast to between 230 million to 260. So from an initial bet of 60 to 90 by 2024, they're already up to 230 to 260. So it just shows how impressive Disney's growth has been when you consider all of those big, huge offerings they have, especially from Pixar and all of the legacy Disney stuff, and then as well as Marvel, Star Wars and all of that. And they've done clearly a very good job. Amid Disney's growth, we know that Amazon and Apple and all these other big players, basically some of the biggest companies in the world, are all heavily invested in the streaming TV market, because that's where they see the entire entertainment space going. So with this in mind, we're going to take a look at a company that really does stand to benefit from the entire global streaming growth. And it doesn't necessarily matter which one of the individual companies, from HBO to Netflix, comes out on top. So Roku, which trades in the ticker that's just its name, R-O-K-U. The company went public in 2017, and their basic pitch is they sell small devices that plug into TVs that allow users to watch various streaming TV content. The company's tech is also built into smart TVs from different companies. So Roku's TVs were the number one smart TVs OS, so their operating system, sold in the US in 2020 with nearly 40% market share. The company also sells wireless sound systems that compete alongside Sonos and others. So along with its devices, the company and its OS that's built into different smart TVs, it's has a streaming TV service. So there's the Roku channel, which allows users to watch free ad-supported streaming movies and TV shows. The company's marketplace also allows other companies to buy targeted ads to promote their streaming services and more. So they have an ability to attract advertisers, which will be huge in an age where TV was a big place for advertising. As that slowly dies, you don't see any ads on Netflix. You don't see any ads on Amazon Prime. You don't see any ads on Apple TV. You don't see any ads on Disney. So a company like Roku is going to be able to have the pitch to attract advertisers on the Roku channel, as well as their platform in general, where other companies are paying to promote their services. So Roku also, we should note, in early January, landed the streaming rights for all the short form shows that the now defunct Quibi created. So that was where they were going to have a bunch of 10-minute shows. Didn't do well. The company already went bust, but Roku added that service. So it's going to even maybe help their appeal to advertisers and help more people sign up for that Roku channel. We should also note that back in 2019, the company purchased a demand-side ad platform, DataXu, that is going to continue to help, as I said, bolster that ad business and its platform revenue, which is going to be a big part of its business going forward. So now we're going to look back quickly to February 18th, when the company topped our Q4 earnings and revenue estimates. So for the full year, its total revenue was up 58% to about $1.8 billion. Its platform revenue was up 71%, so that's that ad-heavy platform revenue. Its gross profit was up 63%, and we should note that the company added over 14 million new active accounts in 2020 to break that 50 million threshold, so they closed the year with 51.2 million active accounts. The company once again noted, as we just talked about at the top, that Roku OS was the number one smart TV operating system in the U.S. with 38% share of the smart TV market. And then I'm just going to quickly read some of what they wrote in their letter to shareholders. So this is, quote, "Despite a pandemic-related advertising slowdown in the U.S., our advertising business proved resilient. With Q4, Roku monetized video advertising impressions more than doubling year over year as advertisers increasingly followed users from traditional paid TV to streaming. 2020 also saw prominent content publishers reorient towards TV streaming, further expanding the content selection of our users." They wanted to say, "We believe that all TV will be streamed. Our mission is, as the leading TV streaming platform, is to connect TV ecosystem of viewers, content publishers, and advertisers, thus creating a virtuous cycle that benefits all the participants." So Roku's long-term pitch to investors is, eventually in the next 5 to 10 years, pretty much everyone is going to have cut traditional TV. They're going to have streaming services. They're going to watch all of their content via streaming, and they're going to be able to continue to benefit from that for all the various reasons we just mentioned. So quickly looking back, the company's 2018 sales were up 45%. Its 2019 sales were up 52%, which shows just how impressive its recent 2020 growth of 58% was. So with those figures in mind, looking ahead, the company's 2021 sales are expected to climb another 42% based on our current Zacks estimates, so all the way up to $2.5 billion, with then its revenue expected to jump another 38% in 2022. So that would be five straight years of between 38 and 58% top-line growth, which is highly impressive for a company. So they're expected to pull in $2.5 billion in 2021 and then $3.5 billion in 2022. So some really impressive top-line growth. With that said, the company is expected to report another adjusted loss in 2021. It's actually expected to report a slightly larger adjusted loss. They had an adjusted loss of 14 cents per share this year. They're expected to post an adjusted loss of 37 cents per share. But then if we look ahead to 2022, they're expected to then climb all the way up to post positive earnings of 37 cents per share. So they've continued to spend on their expansion, and they're trying to expand internationally as well. So they're expected to post a big adjusted loss this year, but then climb all the way up to positive 37 cents per share in 2022. So if we look, their earnings revisions have been mixed recently for the recent periods. We did see their earning estimates for Q1 turn more head in the right direction, still expected to post an adjusted loss, but a smaller adjusted loss than we were calling for before. And then, as we mentioned, that positive earnings in 2022 is really what's going to help probably project or propel the company going forward. They've also crushed our bottom line estimates in the last four quarters, including a massive surprise positive earnings in Q4. So we were calling for a loss of 5 cents per share, and Roku actually posted adjusted positive earnings of 49 cents per share. So a massive beat, and that was continuing a trend of really impressive bottom line beats. So overall, at the moment, we have about 20 brokerage recommendations for Roku, with 11 coming in at strong buys, one more at a hold or buy, and 7 at a hold, with only 1 at a strong sell at the moment. So overall, we have some broker recommendations that are trending positive for Roku. Roku is currently a Zacks ranked number 3 hold. It also has an A grade for growth in our style score system. And now we're going to take a broader look at its stock price versus what Netflix has done the last several years before we move on to more of Netflix outlook. So over the last year, Roku stock is up about 260%. This is against Netflix 45% climb. So a massive outperformance there. And if we look over the last 3 years, Roku stock's up about 990%. So nearly 1,000% compared to Netflix, about 83% climb. But if we look over the last decade, it's hard for Netflix to continue that growth because it was one of the best performing stocks of the 2010s. So Roku has been on a really big upward trend since it went public, but Netflix has been clearly doing it for the long haul. So then if we look over the last 6 months, Roku stock has continued to trend heavily upward, up 120% against Netflix, which has pretty much moved sideways for the last 6 months. And with this in mind, Roku obviously is trading at a premium compared to Netflix at the moment. It's trading at about 19 times forward 12-month sales compared to Netflix just trading at about 8 times forward 12-month sales. Obviously, Roku is still more of a growth company at the moment than Netflix, so that's why you see that on terms of valuation. But if we consider Roku compared to another impressive growth stock that's grown at a really high clip and seen its stock price goes soaring, it's trading at a big discount compared to Shopify. So Shopify is trading at about 38 times forward sales at the moment compared to Roku's 19. So that helps put it into a little bit different of perspective in terms of these big growth companies. At the moment, so as of Monday morning, Roku was trading at about a 15% discount from its mid-February records at $410 a share. That's through morning trading on Monday. So that recent pullback has been maybe setting up a more enticing price for Roku. In terms of RSI, so that relative strength index, which basically it's saying if a stock's overbought or oversold. Roku's sitting at about 47, so it's below neutral. Anything above 70 is considered overbought. Anything below 30 is considered oversold. So it's sitting at about a neutral level. So it would have plenty of room to grow before it would be considered overbought and maybe see a little bit of a pullback on that. So in terms of if you're a longer term investor and you want to take a chance on the streaming TV market, Roku is clearly, as we mentioned, it's one of the only pure play streaming TV stocks out there. When we know all the other big companies are heavily involved, but they're not pure play streaming TV stocks. Even when you consider how much Disney's grown this last year based on its streaming TV service, it still is not just a streaming TV company. It's nothing close to that. Once its parks come back and its theater business comes back, streaming will be just a part of its business. So now we're going to move on to Netflix, which trades under the ticker NFLX. So obviously, we talked about it at the beginning, the at-home entertainment market that boomed this past year when there was nothing else to do, drove Netflix to huge subscriber growth. But the last decade, so the 2010s, saw Netflix go on a world-beating run. Obviously, it's going to be hard to recreate that run for the next 10 years, but it could still have a great performance just at a probably a slower clip. So as we mentioned, we'll just reiterate, the company added about 37 million paid subscribers in 2020, blew away its average of about 23 million over the last 5 years. So more recently, the company added about 8.5 million users in Q4, which was 40% higher than its estimate. Closed the year with about 204 million subscribers. Its shares popped after its Q4 release on January 19th. But even more importantly than all of these subscriber additions, which have historically driven the stock price, the company projected it would post break-even free cash flow in 2021. And this is a huge improvement because its last projection called for it to be burning as much as $1 billion in cash in 2021. So Netflix has taken on a large amount of debt over the last several years in order to produce all of the content it needs to thrive in this crowded space. So Wall Street was really happy to hear that it's expecting to post break-even free cash flow this year. The company also said it no longer needs to raise external financing for our day-to-day operations, which was really big for the company and for the stock at the time. Netflix has also proven that it pays to be first, because despite the continued growth of Disney and HBO Max and Apple TV and all the other streaming services, Netflix is still something that most people are going to cling on to. They have a massive library. And it is also worth noting that there is just room to keep growing. This, as we mentioned, the streaming TV space is still, for as popular as it is, it's still in the early days. More and more people are going to disconnect from those legacy media. And then unlike, say, Spotify versus Apple Music, which are essentially the same services, they're the same music. The service looks a little different, but you're getting the same content from all the same artists. Netflix does not have the same library as Apple TV, plus HBO Max, Disney. They all have totally different options, which is why so many people are going to end up having 4 or 5, 6 or 7 of these various streaming TV services. So it's not a zero-sum game in terms of who's going to win, since they all have vastly different content libraries. In an age where maybe less and less people go to the movie theaters, it was already trending in that direction, where the only thing that did well in the movie theaters were the big Marvel movies and these big giant blockbusters. I can't imagine it's ever going to go back to anything close to like it was before. You already saw the business get totally shaken up in 2020, and these big movie studios are still in a sense of, we don't know what to do for releasing our big movies. We don't know when people are going to get back in theaters. So, for example, James Bond has been pushed back sort of infinitely, and they don't know what to do. So you could see more of these movies. Maybe at a certain point, they just have to punt and put some of these movies directly to streaming before it ever gets to the theaters, because we saw Tenet released this summer, did not do well. So that kind of pushed them to release Wonder Woman directly to streaming on Christmas Day. So you'll maybe see more of those things happen. So looking ahead for Netflix, we're calling for its 2021 revenue to jump about 20% to nearly $30 billion. And then we're expecting it to grow another 16% in 2022, all the way up to about $35 billion. So obviously their actual growth, year-over-year growth in a percentage basis is slowing as those numbers get bigger and bigger, harder to do, but they're still expected to add another $5 billion over 2021 and 2022. So some big top-line growth, as it shows that subscribers aren't likely to go anywhere. And then on the bottom line, it's expected to grow 60% this year and then another 32% next year. We saw analysts race to update their bottom line estimates after their impressive fourth quarter release in January. So all of those estimates were going up for Q1, Q2, full year 2021, full year 2022. All those estimates are up relatively significantly. That said, Netflix, like Roku, is currently a Zacks rank number 3 hold. It was trading Monday morning about 7% below its highs at about $551 per share. Also, similar to Roku in terms of RSI, it's sitting about 53, so near that neutral level, hardly overbought yet. We should note, in terms of broker recommendations, we have 20 brokers with strong buy recommendations, 2 more at a buy, 5 at a hold, and 2 at a strong sell. So overall, positivity in terms of Netflix, as we mentioned, the streaming space is only going to grow. Netflix was that big first player in the space, and even as Disney Plus grows, there's not necessarily a direct trade-off that if I have Disney Plus, I don't need Netflix because they have vastly different content libraries. In the long run, maybe Roku is a better stock. Certainly, since it hasn't been on that massive run over the last decade plus since it just went public in 2017. And it's going to be able to grow no matter which one of these services ends up on top. But overall, the streaming TV space is really just growing, and 2020 was a year that has vastly changed the entire entertainment landscape, and it could look way more different than we can even imagine, depending on how things go with movie theaters going forward and how these companies deem what is going to go to theater and what even they're going to spend in terms of these big blockbusters. So the streaming space is going to be really fun to watch, and both Roku and Netflix seem like solid picks, but maybe Roku has a better chance since it hasn't been on this big run and it's going to be able to grow, even if, say, Netflix does start to lag in terms of their content compared to, say, HBO Max or something like that. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.